Psalm 103 is our Old Testament reading, and let's read it in unison. A Psalm of David. Together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. Let's hear now our New Testament reading, once again from Acts chapter 9, and we'll read a brief account of the healing of Aeneas. Acts 9, beginning at verse 32. Again, the word of God. Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. The title of the message this morning, Christ the Healer. The human body is an amazing organism. It was created by God in his own image. It has a God-given ability to heal itself. Most of us take wound healing for granted. If you get a small cut, you may clean and cover it with a bandage and move on with your life. Yet under that bandage, the body orchestrates a complex cascade of events designed to heal wounds. The basic steps of wound healing are stopping the bleeding. When your skin is cut, you usually start to bleed. Within minutes or even seconds, blood cells start to clump together and clot, protecting the wound and preventing further blood loss. Inflammation. Once the wound is closed with a clot, the blood vessels can open a bit to allow fresh nutrients into the wound for healing. A white blood cell called a macrophage takes on the role of wound protector. This cell fights infection and oversees the repair process. Growth and rebuilding. Oxygen-rich blood cells arrive then to help build new tissue. Well, these are the basic steps of wound healing, which we often take for granted. Yet in this sin-cursed earth, there are many dangers that befall our bodies. Birth defects, deformity, accidents, diseases of all types, heart trouble, strokes, cancer, autoimmune disorders, and many more. Nature teaches us that we ought to take care of our bodies, eating healthy foods, drinking pure water, walking, exercising, getting sufficient sleep. Taking a pill cannot make up for bad health habits. If we want to be healthy, we must take responsibility for our health. Our Bible reading this morning teaches us that healing is a gift from God. Our Old Testament text teaches that the Lord heals all our diseases. Our New Testament text has the Apostle Peter telling a paralyzed man, "Jesus the Christ heals you." These are amazing statements that call for a closer look. During his incarnation, when the Lord Jesus walked this earth, he healed people. The Gospels contain accounts of many healings performed by Christ. These healings serve an important purpose, and that is to show how the Lord Jesus Christ in his coming fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. 700 years before, Isaiah had prophesied, "Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing." Those verses from Isaiah 35. The prophet foretold that when the Messiah came, he would heal the blind, the deaf, the lame, and the dumb. That is, those with an inability to speak. Those are all very serious diseases. When the Messiah came, the blind would see, the deaf would hear, the lame would leap, and not just walk, but leap, and the dumb would speak. The four Gospels record that when Jesus came, he performed these and many other miracles. Clearly, Israel's God had come in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Let that sink in for a moment. The transcendent God, a purely spiritual being, came into this world in the incarnation of Jesus. Scripture was being fulfilled before the people's very eyes. Jesus' miracles called for God's people to rejoice. The Messiah had come. As the angels had said, "I bring you tidings of great joy." I make this point because we live in a day of videos. Probably every one of us sees videos, short and long, almost daily. Many videos do not depict reality. They have been altered by special effects. We cannot always trust what we see with our eyes. The book of Proverbs observes that the eyes of man are never satisfied. In a video-jaded culture, where children and even adults cannot always distinguish between what is real and what is a special effect, we are apt to think, what's so special about the Gospels? Miracles happen all the time. Well, no, they don't. They don't happen all the time. A miracle is an event in the natural world wrought by the immediate power of God, designed to accredit a message or messenger. A miracle is a momentary interruption of the laws of nature. When Jesus came, he performed miracles of healing that were designed to get people's attention. A new era had arrived. The Messiah had come. Our Old Testament text says, and permit me just to quote the King James Version, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from corruption, from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." What a wonderful list of blessings. Forgiveness from our sins, healing of our diseases, redemption from everlasting destruction, a life crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh, how the Lord blesses his people. Well, these blessings come from the God of Scripture. Oh, my soul, bless Yahweh. That's what it says in the original. Bless Yahweh, the God of heaven. Salvation does not come from man with his techniques, his philosophies, his big ideas. Salvation is of the Lord. He is the one who forgives all our iniquities. The word iniquities means activity that is crooked or wrong, bending the rules, not staying in the path of God's commandments. The Bible invites us, this is the way, walk ye in it. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. God tells us how he wants us to live, how he wants us to conduct our lives. The path of God's commandments is a safe course, yet we are so prone to stray, to follow the course that is crooked or wrong. To do so is to sin, and ultimately to risk the punishment of hell. But the gospel gives us hope. Bless the Lord who forgives all our iniquities. As another psalm puts it, there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Psalm 130. Have you experienced the forgiveness of sins? The gospel assures us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The God of Scripture forgives those who come to him by faith through the mediation of Christ. If we come to him, he will never cast us out. Tell him, I am a sinner. I have broken your holy law. I am guilty. I need your salvation. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. I receive him. I accept your word that the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. John 6:37. The Bible teaches that if you come to God through Christ, you will experience forgiveness of your sins. It is entirely God's gracious gift. The psalm goes on to say that the Lord is the one who heals all our diseases. Now, this could be taken in two ways. Healing is parallel to forgiveness, and diseases is parallel to iniquities. Perhaps the diseases are not bodily ones, though, as Gill observes, quote, "The Lord is the physician of the bodies as well as of the souls of men," end quote. Disease is one consequence of living in a post-fall world, a world which God cursed because of the sin of our forefather Adam. When Adam sinned, he was cast out of the Garden of Eden. God told Eve, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire will be to your husband, and he shall rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Adam was our spiritual forefather, the covenant head of the human race. All human persons descended from Adam. Adam is the head of our fallen race. When Adam sinned, he brought guilt and condemnation on our whole race. No one is excluded. And not just that, but God cursed the ground for Adam's sake. Work that was supposed to be rewarding became labor. There was loss, entropy, brokenness, disease, misery, misunderstanding, futility, death. But the Lord heals our diseases. The Lord heals all our diseases. His covenant people experience healing, both physical and spiritual. In Adam, we die, but in Christ, we are made alive. The disease of sin is treated, healed in Christ. Our lives are redeemed from destruction and crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. And we have physical healing as well. God promises, "I am the Lord that healeth thee," Exodus 15:26. "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up." James chapter 5. Is this an ironclad guarantee? Is it a promise that God invariably will heal every disease for which prayer is offered? No, for in a fallen world, it is appointed unto men once to die. One day, each of us will experience our final illness. But for the Christian, death means being ushered into the very presence of God. As the Apostle Paul put it, "I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Would any Christian choose to stay in this sin-cursed world indefinitely and never get to be in Christ's personal presence in heaven? No. The Christian can be assured that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In its exposition of the fifth commandment, "Honor thy father and thy mother," the Shorter Catechism teaches that, quote, "The reason annexed to the fifth commandment is a promise of long life and prosperity." And then there's this parenthetical phrase, a disclaimer, so to speak, but listen to it. A promise of long life and prosperity as far as it shall serve for God's glory and their own good to all such as keep this commandment. In general, those who obey God's commandments and honor their parents will live longer, more prosperous lives. But there are exceptions. Godly young men and women whom their Savior calls to heaven at an early age. Did God's promises fail? No. The promise of long life and prosperity is as far as it shall serve for God's glory and their own good. All things, even disease and untimely death, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. The Christian would have it no other way. We want God to be glorified, even as Paul put it, that God might be glorified in my body, whether by life or by death. In our New Testament text, we have the story of the healing of Aeneas. In Greek mythology, Aeneas was the name of a hero of ancient Troy, the son of the prince Anchises and the goddess Aphrodite, also called Venus by the Romans. The Greek name, the name Aeneas, is related to the word for praise. It's a common word in the New Testament. The name means something like praiseworthy. The spelling of the name in our English Bibles comes from the Latin Vulgate. It's not spelled exactly that way in the Greek. But we read in our text this morning, "Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, 'Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed.' Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord." Here in this verse, Acts 9:32, Luke's focus turns away from Saul and back to Peter. Peter was the chief of the apostles, a fisherman from Galilee, who was personally chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. During the earlier part of our chapter, the attention was focused on Saul of Tarsus, the great persecutor of Christians. He was miraculously saved on the road to Damascus and revealed to be God's chosen vessel to bear the name of Christ before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Saul had preached in Damascus, then later in Jerusalem. His was the most hated message in the world. And wherever he preached, the Jews tried to kill him. The message that he bore was the truth, and the Jews did not want to hear the truth. They did not want anyone else to hear it either. So the disciples spirited Saul away and sent him to his hometown, Tarsus. We read that in verse 30. Now, in verse 32, it's Peter. Peter going from place to place preaching the gospel. He goes to a town called Lydda. Lydda is the Greek name of Lod, L-O-D, first mentioned in 1 Chronicles 8:12. Lod is not too far from the Mediterranean Sea, about 10 miles south of modern Tel Aviv. Israel's main airport, Ben Gurion Airport, is located on the outskirts of Lod. So if you've ever flown to Israel, you've been in Lod. It was a significant Judean town at the time of Christ. Our text tells us that Peter came down to the saints who lived in Lydda. Down, of course, would be from the perspective of Jerusalem, which is about 2,500 feet above sea level. The phrase, the saints who lived in Lydda, indicates that the gospel had already taken root there, even ahead of Peter's visit. But Peter's visit would be important, for he was the first among the apostles of our Lord, the man that's named first in every list of the apostles, whether in the Gospels or the book of Acts. Just as the apostles Peter and John had gone to Samaria to evaluate the status of the newborn church there, in the same manner, and probably for the same reason, Peter traveled to Lydda, or modern Lod. While there, Peter no doubt preached to the saints and instructed them concerning the gospel and biblical church order. And while he was there, he found, notice the word, he found a certain man named Aeneas. The word found seems to imply a purposeful resolve to look for him. In this, Peter is following the steps of his Savior, the Son of Man who came to seek and to save that which was lost. As Christians, we must be profoundly thankful that our Savior took the initiative to seek us. For as men and women dead in trespasses and sins, spiritually dead, unaware, unconscious, heedless, unmindful, oblivious to our danger, we never would have taken the first step to Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ, now lifted up to heaven and exercising all power and authority in heaven and on earth, sought us, even when we were not looking for him. As the hymn writer put it, I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew he moved my soul to seek him, seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior true. No, I was found of thee. Dear child of God, thank your heavenly Father that the Savior came to seek and to save that which was lost. So Peter found the man Aeneas. Aeneas was a pitiful creature. He had been bedridden for 8 years and was paralyzed. To be paralyzed is to be incapable of movement. To be paralyzed and bedridden means that this man Aeneas could not be independent. He was totally dependent on the help of others. As you know, my dear wife in recent days has become a semi-invalid as she awaits knee replacement surgery 8 days from now. She's getting around with a walker and has difficulty managing stairs. At this point in her life, she must sit or lie down with her leg elevated. Unless she's having a rare better day, she is dependent on me to run errands for her. Stephen, would you go into the living room and get my glasses? And you don't need to be a nurse. You don't need to have medical training to do that kind of thing. But I can run errands for her. But Aeneas was totally disabled. He couldn't get around with a walker or a cane. He could not manage stairs. He was paralyzed. He could not have found Peter. Peter had to find him. Aeneas could not get up and go to a Christian meeting. He was deprived of much Christian ministry. I've been very concerned lately about the hospitalized and shut-ins and elderly people living in care homes. They too are much deprived of much Christian ministry because of government-mandated lockdowns. Pastors are not able to go to nursing homes and conduct services or visit parishioners. It makes no sense that care workers can go in and out. They go out at the end of their shift and they come in the next day. They are told not to come in if they're sick. And when they arrive at the care facility, they have to have their temperature checked, wear a face mask, scrub up, and put on a sterile hospital gown and take other precautions. They can do that, but ministers of the gospel cannot go in, even if they follow the same protocols. Have their temperature checked, wear a face mask, scrub up, put on a sterile hospital gown, etc. But at present, we are not governed by reason, but by power, and the citizenry is compliant. It must have been a great encouragement to Aeneas to have a personal visit from the Apostle Peter. How many of you would love to sit down with the Apostle Peter and get his point of view on various things? Wouldn't it be interesting to be able to listen in to what they talked about? We can't do that. God has chosen not to give us that information. But we know certain things about what Peter normally spoke about. Peter's main message was always Christ. And it was no different on this occasion. Surely, Peter told Aeneas that if he looked to Jesus, he would be saved, as he asserted so boldly in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." But on this occasion, he had a very personal word for Aeneas. "Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you." The apostle's message, in opposition to the unbelief of the Jews, was that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. And both the Greek word Christ, Christos, and the Hebrew word Messiah, Mashiach, they both mean anointed one. The Lord Jesus Christ is the long-promised Messiah of Israel, the one anointed by God the Father to undertake the mission of coming to earth to purchase our salvation. Now Aeneas hears the personal word, "Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you." Aeneas is healed in two ways. His sins and iniquities are washed away. The diseases of his soul and body are healed at once. He is born again unto eternal life. And at the same time, he is cured of his paralysis. Our text tells us that Aeneas arose immediately. Now recently, with Norma having to sleep on the couch and needing me periodically, I have taken to sleep on the living room floor so I can be near her. Don't feel sorry for me. I have adapted, and I usually get a very good night's sleep. But I have found that when I wake up in the middle of the night and need to get up off the floor, I'm a little unsteady at first. During the day, I might jump up off the floor and run right out of the room. But I don't do that at night. And unless you've slept on the floor, you might not know that, but try it sometime. At night, I have to prop myself up and push up against the coffee table. And my legs don't achieve their full strength until I have stood up a few seconds and begin to move. I can't say that I get up immediately. I do that during the day, but not at night. But here was Aeneas. He had been bedridden. That's the word in our New King James Version. The word in the original is the word for a mattress, a pallet, a camp bed, a poor man's bed. Here was his miserable state for the last 8 years. How often did he get his linens washed? We don't know. What did his bedroom smell like? We don't know. This was his miserable state for the last 8 years. The only time he could get out of bed was when there was somebody else around to help him. A fitting picture of the sinner. As Paul would later write, when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5, verse 6. But on this occasion, when he heard the words, "Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you," this bedridden man, who had not exercised in 8 years, arose immediately. A true miracle of God. Notice that Peter does not claim the power to heal. How unlike the so-called faith healers who travel from place to place to fleece the flock. Peter does not say, "Look at me, I can heal you." Rather, what he says is, "Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you." And the paralytic immediately gets up. Truly, this was a miracle. And sinner, if you're going to go to heaven, you're going to need a miracle too. The miracle of regeneration, the new birth. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Man thinks that somehow he can push the right buttons or say the right words and he can regenerate somebody. He can't. That's the work of God. Aeneas arose immediately. And then it says, all who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. All here means all types of persons, Jew and Gentile, male and female, rich and poor, young and old. It indicates that there was a great turning to Christ in Lydda and in the surrounding area, the plain level tract known as Sharon, that plain level tract extending from the Mediterranean to the hill country west of Jerusalem. An area about 30 miles long and from 8 to 15 miles wide, celebrated for its beauty and fertility. In other words, news of this miracle had a great effect and brought about a great revival of true religion. The gospel, which would go forth from Jerusalem through all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, was permeating Judea and Samaria. Well, what do we learn from these two scriptures that we've considered this morning? Psalm 103 tells us that the Lord, Yahweh, heals all our diseases. Psalm 103 is fulfilled in Christ. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the Lord of Psalm 103. He is Yahweh. He forgives all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. Chief among our diseases is the disease of sin, which Christ heals. The very last chapter of the Bible tells us about the pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, which forms a river, and on the banks of that river is the tree of life, bearing 12 manner of fruits, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The message then is this: Christ forgives our sins. Christ heals our diseases. O sinner, come to God through Jesus Christ. Look to Him alone for your salvation. If you come to Him, He will never cast you out. Pray to him for spiritual healing, victory over bad, sinful habits, the restoration of broken relationships, joy in the Lord, cleansing, pardon. And pray to him for physical healing. If the healing is for God's glory and your good, then you will receive it. But if, like the Apostle Paul, who pled with the Lord 3 times to be delivered from his thorn in the flesh, but was not delivered, God having determined that it was better to teach him the invaluable lesson, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." If, like Paul, you are not delivered from your physical infirmity, but rather taught the even more precious lesson that God's grace is sufficient for you, then to him be all the glory. Christ is the healer. Christ forgives our sins. Christ heals our diseases. To him alone be glory. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are so glad to learn about this home visit that Peter paid to a very miserable man in Lydda. Thank you, Lord, that Peter told him about Christ. Thank you, Lord, that he also could proclaim, "Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you." Lord, we thank you that you do have the power to heal. We pray, Lord, for healing for this congregation. We pray, Lord, that we would be a healthy congregation, able to filter out into the community and do those good works which glorify you, as you have said in Matthew, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Lord, we pray that you will give healing to those in the congregation who are ill. Lord, we believe that you have the ability to do that. And Lord, if in your great wisdom you determine that it would be better for us to learn an invaluable spiritual lesson, "My grace is sufficient for you," then Lord, teach us that lesson. We will not doubt that you have the power to forgive all manner of sickness and disease. But Lord, we want to learn the lesson that you have for us. Train us in the way of godliness. Prepare us for the courts of heaven. We pray these things now in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.